activate the view screen, and turn on your universal translators, because it is time for another Galactic Netcast.
By your command.
Felt a great disturbance in the Force.
Resistance is futile.
Who built a time machine? What about DeLorean?
Exterminate!
Silent Breed is people!
I'll be back.
That sounds like something out of science fiction.
You live in a spaceship, dear.
Hear ye! Hear ye! I'm Dave Nelson, and on this 21st day of May 2014, I call to order this, the 9th meeting of the Sci-Fi Geeks Club. Let's commence with the roll call. Matt Stein, are you here?
No, I totally am, Dave. You know that. We've been talking already. You're so silly.
But I have to keep up appearances. I can't just... I can't just... Not do it. I have to make sure, confirm that you are really here.
I am here. Okay. And finish your roll call, and then I'm going to blow the doors wide open on this latitude business.
Okay. All right. So we were talking about something earlier that we'll continue talking about in a second. Okay.
Yep.
Roll call continues. Brad Ludwig.
Here.
Are you raising your hand? I don't see you. Oh, you are raising your hand. Okay. Got it. And Anessa Moyens, are you present?
I'm here.
All right. All present and accounted for on this Sci-Fi Geeks Club. Welcome, everybody. How are you guys doing? It's been a while since we did a show.
Yeah, holy crap, has it.
A few things happened in the meantime, including Matt graduating from college.
Our little boy has grown up so much.
That is exactly how I felt, because my mom made this big deal out of it. I just wanted to get drunk and have friends over, and she's like, I'll bring coleslaw and plates.
That's adorable.
She brought coleslaw and plates. She makes really killer coleslaw, so I wasn't upset about it.
What exactly is your degree in that you graduated college for?
The degree itself is called Information and Communication Technologies. So it's just IT and communications in one degree.
Do you have two degrees? Or it's two in one?
Oh, it's two in one.
Okay.
I should have just gotten a degree in Googling.
Because you're good at that.
I'm really good at that.
We were talking before the show started about how much
a degree of latitude is in miles, because Dave and I were trying to figure out how much further north Ottawa, Canada is from Appleton, Wisconsin, because he was convinced it was very close. And turns out, Dave, I'm dumb. I don't know how to read the internet.
No.
And you are actually only 1.1547 latitudinal degrees north of me, which is only 80 miles.
Yes, I knew it. I knew it.
I was reading it backwards.
Okay. That's okay. No. We all learned something tonight.
I learned a lot of something tonight. I think I learned more after I finished school than being in school.
I tuned out after hear ye, hear ye. Did Matt say something?
Thus it begins. The continuing battle between Brad Ludwig and Matt Stein.
You know what, Brad? I don't even care because my old pal Gary just tweeted me. The only time I ever use Twitter is when I'm trying to talk to Gary.
There you go.
Boom. Don't even, your words just right off my shoulder.
All right. Anessa moved up from Texas and is also in Wisconsin. I feel so left out now. You guys are all in Wisconsin. I'm in Ottawa, Canada.
This is where all the cool kids are.
Oh, whatever.
Not this kid. This kid is warm right now. I am a sweaty Uncle Teddy at the moment.
Hey, I wanted to ask you.
It looks like you have a stranglehold on that beer mug, so I could see that.
Yeah, let's talk about.
Thirsty.
Let's talk about that beer. What are you drinking this week?
It's French. I'm not even kidding.
Oh,
it's
does that mean you have to drink it with the pinky up?
I try to, but the mug gets really heavy. It's Duchess de Bourgogne. I don't know. It is a traditional top fermented reddish brown ale from West Flanders region of Belgium. Oh, it's not even French.
Okay.
Really good. I drank it in Sheboygan last week and took to the internet and found out I can get it at my local Woodman's. So I picked a bottle up for tonight.
Sweet. All right.
Hooray for Woodman's.
Enjoy. Yeah, right. Enjoy that beer.
We're going to have to get Thank some you. Big Bull Falls Brewery beer that's brewed here in Wausau for you, Matthew.
I was looking at those. I'm really excited, as long as you deliver it with a hug.
Oh, yeah. There will be hugging involved.
Not too long or too much hugging, I hope.
Just a perfect.
It doesn't count as a hug unless it's at least 10 seconds.
Okay.
Oh,
All right.
Well, who hugs for less than 10 seconds besides communists?
I was going to say, communists are the only ones.
As long as both feet are on the floor, nobody can say that we're doing anything.
That's why the wall fell. That's why the wall fell. They weren't hugging. All they needed was some hugs, and the wall fell.
Oh, I thought you were implying something else.
No.
Never mind.
No. Wow. Okay.
All right. Hey, let's talk about the reason why we're here, and that is to discuss the week's science fiction news. But before we do, got to remind you of our Patreon campaign to raise some money to make us the biggest, most badass science fiction podcasting network on the planet. And you can help out by going to patreon.com/galacticnetcasts. Patreon.com/galacticnetcasts. And for as little as $1 a month, you can become our boss. We'll work for you. Or $15 a month, and you can become, or you can be a guest on one episode of this here show on the Sci-Fi Geeks Club. So again, a dollar or $15, or hell, you can give us $500 a month. That would be awesome. That would reach it. That would make us get us to our goal of making $500 a month, doing what we all love here on Galactic Netcast. So again, patreon.com/galacticnetcasts and give to our Patreon campaign. We'd really appreciate that. Before we get on with our new business, let's review what we talked about on the last episode of the Sci-Fi Geek Club. Brad.
Well, our guest was Lou Page from the podcast Zombies Ate My Podcast. Matt brought the story of Sony working on the Project Morpheus again/still. I talked about the Fox drama Almost Human being canceled. Grr.
And it was canceled.
You know, I keep running into people outside of you guys, and someone actually brought up Almost Human being canceled and got super, super sad about it. And I'm like, not you too. And then naturally, the natural progression of the conversation was it went to Doctor Who. And I think I went to sleep.
Tuned out right away, didn't you?
Aw. Almost Human was a good show, though.
Yeah.
It was very good. Star Wars Episode 7 cast was announced, and that was a story that Dave brought to the table. And Lou, closing it all up here, brought in the story that Star Wars lore is changing, and here's what it means. Essentially, all of the Star Wars books, everything else that was considered canon, is being pretty much thrown out.
You know, since we talked about that, I've heard other people talk about it, and it sounds like it was a good thing because there were some pretty stupid stories pretty stupid books that were created from the Star Wars universe.
No, there were, a lot of garbage, but there was a Dark Horse series that came out in the early 90s that was just frickin' amazing, that was kind of a follow-up that would have happened pretty much right after Empire.
Is that the story that people were thinking for a while they were going to make as the next movie?
Yeah, but I mean, Mark Hamill's too old to do that now. Mm-hmm. With what that story would have entailed. Star Wars, hang on a second here.
And we've got some more Star Wars news tonight, and there could have been even more. There was a story I found with some major plot spoilers, possible plot spoilers that I decided not to bring to the show.
I would have been really sad.
Yeah. I'm kind of mad that I read it, because now I know if that's the plot line, then I'm mad that I know it already.
Well, Brad is Googling. I thought I should mention, there was another Project Morpheus story that came out today, actually. I thought about doing it for my story. I didn't realize that it was the last show that I did the last time, but, it's in, like, full-blown alpha at this point, and they've announced the first two games, even though the story only had one. Let's see if I can find it real quick. But there's no, like, street date, and Morpheus is still the project name, so they don't have an actual name for it. There's nothing about pricing, but it seems like the projected 2015 could be possible.
They should totally keep it Project Morpheus and, like, get the rights to the talk to the Wachowskis and get the rights to the Matrix and totally do a game around that. That would be awesome.
They always, well, it was on sciencefiction.com, but they always make references to, like, The Matrix when they talk about it, so it'd be kind of cool to do it. It'd be kind of stupid not to. Plus, they could, with the reboot of the Matrix trilogy, they could reboot the Matrix video games, and then you got virtual reality Matrix game. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. So, Brad, did you find what you were looking for?
Yeah, it was Star Wars Dark Empire. It was released 1991,
okay.
Thereabouts.
Yeah, I've heard of that. I've heard of that jazz.
And it was the Tom Veitch who has written some wonderful, wonderful stuff. And it was like the first introduction of an artist named Cam Kennedy who does amazing coloring and just beautiful artwork. And those were very interesting stories. And but that's all being blown out, and rightly so. They need to start with a blank slate, and they can't be hamstrung essentially by a lot of crap that's out there too.
Yep, so. Exactly. All right, that's going to do it for a review from last time. Let's move on to new business. Do we want to go the order in which the doc is in, or?
Yeah, why don't we?
Okay, Matt. Matt has the first story then. What do you got?
You guys just like making me talk first.
Yeah, of course.
Get the child out of the way.
We've missed you, Matt.
Mm-hmm. This little tidbit blew my socks off, because I spent all day looking, couldn't find anything, so I checked when I got home, and this little bad mamma jamma was there. Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice, the official name, official release date of May 6, 2016, and filming is already underway, and it is the official Man of Steel sequel. In the article I read, people were speculating why it's Batman v Superman instead of Batman versus Superman. I don't really care. It probably doesn't make a lick of difference, but people need something to be sad about. The movie's written by Chris Terrio. Henry Cavill will be playing Superman. Ben Affleck will be playing Batman, which I know we've talked about.
Before you continue, can we talk about, because we haven't had a show since that photo was posted of the new Batmobile and Ben Affleck as Batman okay, go ahead.
Well, I saw something else about that photo, regarding people were pissed off because Batman's suit only looks one color. And it was Kevin Smith's response to it. He goes, it's a monochrome photo. It's only one color.
Yeah,
like, how does no one understand that the whole picture is just one color?
Yeah, he's been sitting on this for a while. He saw a picture of, or he actually saw the suit because he's buddies with Ben Affleck. He saw it a long time ago. And he said it's exactly like, what comic is that, Brad?
Dark Knight Returns.
Dark Knight Returns. And if you compare the picture from the comic to his suit and the version of that I saw that was kind of colored in, it looks exactly like that suit.
Yeah, the bat icon is exactly on his chest, is exactly like it is in The Dark Knight Returns.
Are you talking about
the Frank Miller comic book where he...
Sorry, I'm not a comic book. But there was...
then there was why ask the question?
Because there was a picture on the story that I read, and it had, like, Batman hitting the Joker with something, but the bat symbol looks, quote-unquote, fat. It's not, like, a really well-defined, it's kind of like a rounder bat symbol. Is that the same one?
So you actually did look at a comic book panel. Was that painful for you?
No, I never.
Did you need to sit down? Yes, that is the one from The Dark Knight Returns.
Okay.
It looks very, this suit looks very organic. It looks like a throwback to the original, and it looks more, it looks less like armor and more like like clothes you'd put on, kind of.
Yeah, if I recall correctly, a lot of it is like Kevlar underneath, so it's a little bulkier, but he can, you know, it's designed to be able to take gunshots and stuff like that, so.
Okay. So what else is on the story here?
It's just who else is playing who.
Okay. So Lex Luthor, we knew about that.
Yep.
We knew that.
Fishburne's playing Perry White. I don't know if we knew about that one.
Yes.
Diane Lane's playing Martha Kent. Amy Adams is playing Lois Lane. Jeremy Irons is playing Alfred.
See, that's kind of the interesting bit here, too, is we were definitely going away from the Christopher Nolan stuff, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think they almost have to.
They do. They really do.
Not that I wouldn't be upset if they made another Christopher Nolan type Batman, but for it to be its own thing, they have to.
Yeah.
And then Holly Hunter, Callan Mulvey, and Teo Akamoto are playing unknown characters. Apparently this is also the beginning for the Justice League movies from the sounds of it, and then they're supposed to include Wonder Woman and Cyborg.
And I saw a picture that one of the production team members from the set posted a picture of a playing card, and I think it was the Joker, kind of embedded in like a wall or a table or some kind of piece of wood, and that was supposed to be a sign that the Joker is going to be in this movie as well.
I do like the Joker. In the character itself has always been a favorite of mine.
Yeah, it will be interesting. Well, no, it's going to be interesting with the Heath Ledger performance of the Joker is going to be very hard to top. So it'll be interesting to see, one, if the Joker is a part of it, who they cast, and two, if people are going to give this actor a fair shake. God, so many people were really down on Heath Ledger playing the Joker, and this is going to sound goofy, but after I saw Knight's Tale, and I really say what you will about the film, his acting in that was really good, and you really got the sense that he could, in some of his other work too, just looking at his body of work as a whole, I just kind of had a feeling that he was going to really do a good job with it, but he did far better than I thought that he would have. What he brought was epic, and people still talk about to this day. So it'll be interesting to see who fills those shoes and what kind of performance they bring to the table and how well it's received. If all of nerddom is going to cry in anguish and gnash their teeth bitterly and whatever.
I'm noticing a trend for these superhero movies of a lot of characters in one movie, because there was a lot of characters in the second Spider-Man movie, this second Amazing Spider-Man movie. There's a lot of characters in this new X-Men movie, and it seems like there's a lot of characters in this this Dark Knight or the Batman v Superman, seems like.
I almost wonder if they have to start doing that. Sorry, Brad. But I wonder if they have to start doing that because the more different characters they get in, the more people that they can pull in.
That's a good point.
Could it also be because they need to use these characters or else they lose copyright on them too, maybe?
I don't know how that works. No, that works that way for the comics, but that's a good question.
No, that's a very good question, because I don't think, there was that rumor going around that that Marvel Studios was going to get back the rights to Spider-Man, and he's just one character.
I think that the difference here is that Time Warner is making the film. Warner owns DC, so they have all the rights.
Okay.
Marvel Studios, which is a part of Marvel, before Marvel Studios was created, Marvel sold off the rights to those characters, to Fantastic Four, X-Men, and so on and so forth.
Okay.
So the way that was drafted, those agreements, they had to make a film within set time periods or the rights would revert back. So that's the difference between the two.
Let me ask you, Brad, I saw an article on io9.com this week about the best cross-universe characters. What are some characters that went from Marvel to DC, because there has been, right? And DC to Marvel?
Yeah, they had, I have it somewhere. It was probably one of the coolest crossovers, and it was the X-Men Teen Titans crossover, which was done in early 80s, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, early 80s. Beautifully printed. It was on Baxter paper. that's when you know true comic geek is when they go, oh yeah, it was beautiful. They printed it on Baxter paper, and they go, oh, Baxter paper? Oh my God, that was amazing. Whatever. Anyways, shut it, Matthew.
We should move on before we lose Matt completely.
Like a whiny asthmatic. Shut it. No, and there's been Amalgam Comics, which was a line that was done for, like, you had Bruce Wayne, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., I think, was one of the Amalgam Comics.
Wait a second, Bruce Wayne, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.? That's quite the crossover.
Yeah, it was Amalgam Comics. Yeah, there we go. So it was DC and Marvel working together. And I am going to, if you're checking out the video, you'll be able to see this. If not, you're out of luck. But here it is. Bruce Wayne, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.
That's cool.
There's Viper, which is a Marvel character, but I think that she was combined with somebody. I can't remember who.
That is badass. I totally want to read this now.
And then, who was it? The Green Skull. Green Skull is a combination of, Alexander Luther. So he was, he was a Luther. Black Cat was Barbara Hardy, which would be a combination of Barbara Gordon, Batgirl, and Felicity Hardy, which is Black Cat.
That's like almost like an alternate universe, sort of.
Yes, it was. It was structured that way. Like there was some cataclysmic event that two universes collided, and then all these characters meshed together to make this new reality happen and how everything came to be.
That's a neat way of doing it, you know, without actually doing a proper crossover.
Yeah, and some of the titles that they had, these are great. Great titles. Let me see if I can find...
Lobo the Duck?
Probably.
Anybody? Bueller? I was just told to yell out Lobo the Duck.
Yep.
I don't know what I just said. I may have offended someone.
No, Lobo is a anti-hero in DC and...
Howard the Duck. Oh.
And Howard the Duck, which was a horrible George Lucas film. Howard the Duck is a Marvel character. Let's see. Trying to find some of the. See, and this site is all bollocksed up. But they had some great crossovers. Like they had Wolverine essentially as Batman.
Sweet. That's really cool. Did you guys see the quote by Hugh Jackman?
Oh, here we go. Sorry, go ahead.
Hugh Jackman wants to do he wants the Wolverine to join the Avengers and fight the Hulk. That's like on his bucket list of things to do.
Yep. So we had Doctor Strange Fate, which would be a combination of Doctor Strange from the Marvel Universe and Doctor Fate from the DC Universe. JLX, which is a combination of the Justice League of America and the X-Men. Legends of the Dark Claw is the... where is it? Is a combination of, there we go, Wolverine and Batman.
Okay, I knew Wolverine was in there.
And Super Soldier was a combination of Captain America and,
Superman?
Crap, he had a golden shield.
We'll be of no help, Brad.
I'm sorry.
You know, we need to have a music whenever Brad...
Guardian is the name of the character. Guardian, that's right.
We need to have, like, a music bed that we play whenever Brad is, like, stuck on something.
To the internets!
Can we play a rackety sax or rickety sax?
Yep.
All right, cool.
So there you go. That's right. That was done in the late 90s.
Okay.
So there have been a few... combinations like that.
That's awesome. So Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice is the official title. Official release date, May 6, 2016. Sounds awesome. All right, let's move on. Good job, Matt. Good job.
Thanks, Dad.
Good job.
All right, Brad, you got the next story, and we are talking Star Wars Episode 7.
We are talking a lot of Star Wars here. And there we go. So the story I'm bringing to the table here is they have the first Star Wars Episode 7 alien, and it's not CG.
It's totally a Henson thing, too.
It's a Henson thing, and it's really... I don't want to see Jar Jar Binks again, damn it. I don't think anybody else does. And I think that there is definitely, and I'm going to use a weird word for it, but there's somewhat of a romantic sort of a thing with having a practical alien, you mm-hmm. know, something that easily interacts. You don't have your actors looking at a green ball on a green stick and interacting with that and trying to, you know, say lines to it and whatever. You've got an actual creature that you're working with. And I am going to pull this up here so you can actually see what this alien looks like.
Did you explain how where this came from?
This came from IO9, and this is a clip that we're looking at right now. It's actually an animated GIF, which is from a section of a video that we'll provide the link to this so you can see the actual video that this clip comes from, this GIF clip. But this creature kind of looks like if you were to take combine an older, like, Asian gentleman as it were, like from the stereotypical like 40s films or something like that. He's got like the kind of the long goatee, sort of a beard.
Fu Manchu.
He's got he's stooped over and he's got, you know, his eyes are kind of very narrow and they're on a desert planet. So he's, you know, trying to block out a lot of the sun, but it looks like he's carrying more bird-like creature or other bird-like creatures on his back. So he looks like he might be a merchant or a traveler. And J.J. Abrams in this clip is talking a little bit, looks like he's talking about the character or different things that you will see in the film using practical effects.
The video is actually J.J. Abrams introducing a contest where you have the chance to be in Star Wars Episode 7 if you give, I think, $10 or more to some charity, and then they're going to be doing a drawing, and that person will win a walk-on. Actually, we'll get in costume and actually be in the film, Star Wars Episode 7. And he's on the set of Episode 7 in Tunisia, I think.
Actually, I saw that they were doing shooting in Dubai.
Dubai. That's it. That's it. Okay.
So, it's for UNICEF, which is the benefit. So, in the story, and hopefully we'll have a link for that as well. People can click that and they can, make a donation and possibly get a chance to, be a character, get a walk-on background character role for, Episode 7. So, guys, it's just so wonderful to see an actual practical alien.
And I think there's going to be more, because there is a story going around today that Andy Serkis is going to be manning one of those practical creatures.
He's been doing a lot of work for different. He was working on another film too, and gosh, I can't remember what it was now. And I'm like, well, of course you get Andy Serkis to be that character. To have, you know, CG put over the top of him, which he did for the Gollum character for the Lord of the Rings films and Hobbit. So, no, it's very, very cool stuff, and I'm actually not dreading to see these films. I mean, to this day, I refuse to give George Lucas my money and see the Episode 3. I'd rather be set on fire and kicked in the junk than see that film.
I can make that happen.
Well, as long as you put me out with the Big Bull Falls Brewery beer that we bring after the hug, yeah.
I'll hug you while you're on fire. I don't even care.
You should probably make sure this happens during the winter so everybody stays warm.
That's love, Matt. I don't care if you're on fire, man. I'll give you a 10-second hug.
That's true. In Wisconsin, winter is like next Tuesday, so we're good.
It's still winter for me.
Yeah.
It's like, it's 68 degrees. Oh, my God, it's so beautiful. And that's just like, really?
It's like, I'm so cold. I mean, it was in the 90s and really super humid. You would walk outside and just have a layer of sweat. It was like being in Houston all over again.
That's like July 8th, July 9th around here.
Yeah. All right.
And then this front moves through and I need a hoodie.
Yeah, the weather changes quite quickly in the Midwest
well,
states.
Well, it changed down in Texas too.
Yeah.
So we were in, actually it cooled off quite a bit right before we left, and then it was cool for the rest of the trip.
Well, did you encounter any like severe weather, like tornadoes?
Well, we were sitting in the parking lot waiting for it to quit hailing so we could leave Denton, if that counts.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Any day.
It was rain, and then I was also trying to cancel a hotel room because I'm like, there's no way we're going to make it there in a reasonable amount of time. And it started hailing, and so we're like, oh, that's hail. Okay, we'll just sit here and wait. So it let up. We got the room canceled, thanks to Brad, and then we hopped on the road, and it was raining for the next 2.5-3 hours, and then after that it was just windy up until right before Minnesota. So I was trying to keep this truck in two lanes, and or in one lane, rather.
Yeah, two lanes, you're doing it wrong, Anessa.
There's an 18-wheeler to my right, and I was passing him up, and we both get hit with, like, a gust of wind, and we're like, whoa!
Just like that, huh?
Yeah, just whoa!
All right.
Remind me never to drive anywhere with you.
Hey, hey, I managed to survive and stay in my lane.
And there's no warrants out for your arrest yet?
No warrants, no hit and runs. I'm good.
Yet.
Yet. Well, I don't have a truck anymore, so it's not going to happen with that.
All right. Let's stay on the subject of Star Wars. We talked about the practical effects. Let's talk about the original trilogy maybe being released on DVD and Blu-ray. The original trailer or the original trilogy with unaltered, no like put things put in them, no Lucasified. Is that
they
the right?
They haven't done that yet.
What's that?
It's not on DVD or Blu-ray without whatever dumb.
No. The only copy they ever released onto DVD was like a really bad, like, they filmed the VHS version of the film and then put it on DVD.
Oh.
Yeah. So this will be the very first time it's ever been released on DVD and Blu-ray. The original, and in the original Star Wars Episode 4, who shot first? Was it Solo or was it Greedo?
Greedo.
So Greedo will finally get to see Greedo shoot first if this is true. If this story turns out to be true. Now, Disney's marketing department, the studio are planning to re-release A New Hope, The Empire Strikes Back, and Return of the Jedi on DVD and Blu-ray and on demand in the original form. Without all the things George Lucas changed for the special edition releases back in 2004, the new trilogy is going to be very closely tied to the original and will be marketed as a direct sequel to those. So this particular re-release strategy makes a lot of sense, don't you think? This is definitely something people have wanted for a long time. In fact, there was a effort for the longest time to piece together the original, like take pieces and actually get a decent copy of it without all the additions. They actually were trying to piece together people, fans of the movie, were actually trying to fit all the pieces together and make their own version. So I'm glad that, they didn't, and I'm glad that Disney decided to get their act together and do something that Lucas refused to do. Also, second piece of Star Wars news, it's with all the excitement of Episode 7 recently, it's easy to forget that at least 3 Star Wars spin-off films are coming our way as well. Disney has stated they plan on releasing a Star Wars film every year, starting with Episode 7 in December 2015. Subjects of those spin-offs have been hotly debated until now. The German site Star Wars Union is reporting that one of their readers attended a recent training presentation from Hasbro and that the working titles of the 3 spin-offs were revealed. And here's how the schedule will look through 2020. So fall 2014, Star Wars Rebels. That's this fall. 2015, Episode 7. 2016, Boba Fett. So a whole movie dedicated to Boba Fett. 2017, Episode 8 will be released. 2018, the Solo film, the movie about Han Solo. Episode 9 in 2019, and Red 5, a movie called Red 5 released in 2020. And there's a lot of debate as to what that will be about. Because, of course, that was Luke's call sign in the original Episode 4, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it could be about the squadron after everything that happened in Episode 4. Was it Episode 6?
No, it was Episode 4 when they blew up the Death Star.
Okay. Well, they blew it up in Episode 6, too.
Yes. We got blown up a few times.
Yet they keep on making it. What's the deal with that? So how do you guys feel about these interstitial movies that they're releasing between the main movies?
I think it should have ended with Episode 9 instead of a spinoff. Because you're either going to have no one will care about it, or, I mean, what am I even saying? People are going to bend over backwards to shell out stupid amounts of money to see all of these movies, and I will still be sitting here like a jackass talking about how Star Wars might not make $100 million this year.
So you think that the market will be oversaturated with Star Wars movies?
I think so. But for Star Wars fans, like diehard Star Wars fans, I don't think it's possible. unless these movies suck.
But are there enough diehard Star Wars fans to make these other movies a success?
Can you say that there isn't? I mean, just knowing that there's, you know, documentaries and all these conventions and stuff, you can't tell me that there aren't enough people to make this profitable for Disney.
No, it'll make an unreasonable amount of cash.
Yes.
Okay. All right. I trust you guys. You guys know.
Next year in the movie draft, Dave. Next year in the movie draft, whoever gets episode 7 will win.
But the thing is, we're not going to be able to bid on episode 7 next year because it's not a summer movie. It's coming out in Christmas time.
They're all coming out around Christmas time?
No.
Just December 15th. Okay.
Episode 7 is the first one, and that will be around Christmas time because they didn't have enough time to get it ready for a summer 2015 release.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's your Star Wars news for the week. We had a lot of it. We had three stories. Yes. And I predict that we're going to have regular Star Wars stories from now on. I'm just guessing.
Well, with, what is it, seven movies coming out in the next six, seven years?
Yeah. Yes.
There will be nonstop Star Wars news.
Yeah.
Although, I'll say this, for not being a Star Wars fan, if the original comes out on Blu-ray, I would buy it. Because I know my wife is a Star Wars fan, and I would rewatch them with her.
Because they really, they jacked it up. I mean, with all those, I mean, making Han shoot first, and then adding all
It was Han shot first originally.
Oh, okay.
And then when they re-released it, Greedo shot first.
Oh, okay. All right. Yep. Sorry.
Nope, that's fine.
But adding.
See, I never knew that. I knew that there was an argument about who shot first, but I didn't know that there was altering that took place to change it.
And didn't they add like a different yell for Vader when he, his no, didn't they add some kind of, didn't they sweeten that up?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, so maybe they'll release the original. No!
Hang on.
Yeah, there was a bunch of Star Wars news this week. I mean, we could have done a whole episode on Star Wars. And when I post stories to our social feeds, it's like every other one is a Star Wars story these days. So it's either a Star Wars story or it's a comic book movie story.
Keeps you in business.
that sounds like something like Grandpa would say. Yeah, keeps you in business.
It keeps you out of trouble.
So what do you got for us, Brad?
Yeah, in the original movie, Han shot first. And the reason why it was changed is he didn't like, after he, you know, released it, it kind of made Han look like a cold-blooded killer. He wanted him to be likable. So when they re-released it, it was Greedo who shot first, and Han shot him in sort of retaliation, as it were.
Okay.
Everybody was up in arms about that.
Yeah, but how can you change something so drastically that is already out there, been out there for what? How many years was it out before it was re-released and altered?
Quite a bit.
That would be like someone rewriting Stairway to Heaven, re-releasing it 20 years after the original, and being like, nope, this is how it is now.
Everyone can deal with it.
Well, you saw that some of the members of the band Spirit don't want to have Led Zeppelin 4 re-released until Randy California gets the writing credit for the sort of the intro, the acoustic, the guitar intro.
I did not see that, but the way the music industry is now, it does not surprise me.
Is Randy California the brother of Robert California from The Office, played by James Spader?
It's probably a nod to Randy California, but no.
Did not even think about that. Attaboy.
That's awesome. That's good. That's good stuff right there. All right. Let's move on from our Star Wars news to our last story, and that is Anessa. What do you got for us, Anessa?
Not Star Wars.
Yay!
Thank God.
But before I go on to my story, you had talked about getting the rights, like maybe the Morpheus project could get the rights from the Wachowskis, I forget how they say their name.
Wachowskis.
But apparently, they don't actually have the rights because they were sued for copyright infringement for the Matrix films.
Yes, they were.
Hmm.
Go figure.
No.
Successfully sued.
Because I was trying to remember. I'm like, I want to say that they were sued, but I didn't say anything because I wanted to look it up first. But, yeah, they were sued back in 1999 because they had, like, this contest where they had people write in with their ideas or their stories, there's little science fiction stories, and there was one in particular that ended up becoming The Matrix, and they went in and they made the movie, and then they cut out like a fair chunk out of the movie to try to make it less like the story and try to get around being sued for copyright infringement, because it had a copyright back in like 1981, and the lady sued for The Matrix movies and I think The Terminator and its sequels, and she won.
Oh, wow. The same lady? So.
Yeah, the same lady.
Wow.
Sophia Stewart. So, yeah.
Still super mega tits movies, so I don't know. Yeah.
But, yeah, she won. Got a nice paycheck out of it, so. But anyway.
Although, think about how much money she could have made had she presented those to a movie film director first versus having to sue someone to get her money.
Yeah, well, because, I mean, they basically did this call, and I guess she didn't realize she was going to get screwed over, but she did have it copyrighted, so.
Yes, she's very smart that way.
Yeah, I think if it weren't for that, then it would be really hard to prove that she had written the stories ahead of time.
So that's a lesson for you folks. If you write a story, copyright it.
Copyright it before you give it to anybody else, so you'd be like, oi, this is copyrighted before they even thought about it. So, anywho. On to other written stories from, actually, 1938. the Hugo Prize, it's an award for science fiction. And it didn't come along till about the 1950s, 1953 to be exact. And so anything that was written before then didn't really get recognition, even if the stories were really good. And so on occasion, I think it's like three occasions so far, 96, 2001, and 2004, they've done Retro Hugo Awards. And this year they're going to be looking at works that were created in 1938. So I thought that was really cool. They're going to be looking at novels by, let's see, C.S. Lewis's Out of the Silent Planet, Edgar Rice Burroughs' Carson of Venus, John Wyndham's Sleepers of Mars, and a few other ones, I believe. Jack Williams's Legion of Time in the novel category. There's a lot of stories I haven't really had the chance to read yet.
The titles sound awesome, all of them.
Yeah, they sound really interesting. And they have different categories, novels, shorts, and novelettes and whatnot. Particularly, they have listed as the best dramatic presentation short form category, in which four of Orson Welles' Mercury Theater of the Air productions have been nominated, including Around the World in 80 Days, A Christmas Carol, well, there's time travel, Dracula, and War of the Worlds.
Sweet.
Making Jules Verne, Charles Dickens, Bram Stoker, and H.G. Wells indirectly eligible for this year's awards. So, I thought that was kind of interesting. The winners will be announced at the 72nd World Science Fiction Convention in London in August 14th. And the regular Hugos for works published in 2013 will be awarded at the convention as well.
So. I wonder who accepts for those old stories if no, like the author isn't around anymore.
I would think that if they have any family that's still around, great grandchild or something, they might have them come up. Otherwise it might just be the publishing company or whoever. So. But yeah, I would think they would at least try if, you know, they had kids and their kids had kids and they're still alive, then they would be like, on behalf of my grandfather, thank you.
Yeah, speaking of...
He was a nutcase, but he wrote really awesome stories.
Speaking of, like, copyright, there's a lot of great old science fiction stories that you can get for free because it's out of copyright. And I'm
right.
Wondering if some of those stories are, that's the case for some of those.
I would think so. I think it's 1925 it's like or 32 or something. It's like before that, a lot of the copyright has already ran out, and so you can find a lot of these stories for free on places like the Project Gutenberg.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But in the case of, say, Edgar Rice Burroughs and the Barsoom series, the vast majority of those stories, like A Princess of Mars and whatnot, those are available free, but I think there are two or three that somehow managed to get their copyright renewed, so you actually have to pay for those. So, it's weird how that worked out, but that's what they managed to do.
Have you guys, any of you guys seen the new show, I think it's Showtime or HBO, called Penny Dreadful?
Nope.
heard of it.
I highly recommend it because they're dealing with a lot of like the old, like original science fiction stories like Frankenstein and Dracula. They're kind of, they're reimagining them. Think of the TV show Once Upon a Time, where they're taking all these characters from fairy tale characters and kind of retelling their stories. This is kind of the same deal. It's I've seen the first two episodes, and the first one deals with Frankenstein. Actually, the first two Dr. Frankenstein and his monster are both in the episodes, and it's pretty cool. If you want to see Rose Tyler naked, I watch it.
That was never even in my mind.
I don't know who she is, but I want to see her naked.
I'm just saying, you know, Doctor Who fans, you know who Rose Tyler is, Billy Piper. She plays...
Can you at least watch, what is it, the Diaries of a Call Girl or something?
That's right. I forgot that she was in that. Yeah. Yeah.
She's a prostitute.
Yeah, she's a prostitute in this movie,
in
this
episode,
show, too.
She sleeps with Matt Smith.
Yeah, that's weird. That's weird.
So, I thought that was kind of weird, but it's whatever.
Yeah, Penny Dreadful. Check it out. It's great, great acting, great, great production. If you like old stories kind of reimagined, then I would definitely watch that if I were you. Well, cool. Nope.
Cool story.
Great, great stories all around, guys. If anybody has comments or want to kind of give us their two cents, is it two cents?
Two cents
worth on any of these stories.
2 pence if you're British.
Leave us some feedback, galacticnetcasts@gmail.com, or you can call our voicemail number. It's 805-328-3966, and let us know what you think of any of these. Star Wars, the Batman, the Superman, Dawn of Justice, and the Retro Hugo Awards. That sounds so awesome. I'm glad that they're being recognized, finally, some of those stories.
Yeah.
All right, before we get out of here, do we want to check in on the Galactic Netcast, what we're watching, weekly summer movie draft? Does anybody want to check to see how we're doing on that?
I think everyone should just assume that Team Kyle Ramrod is in the lead, which is true by like $157 million.
Wow, we're doing pretty well, Matt.
Yes, we are in first with $450,853,000. Team, what we're watching weekly is at $293,082,000, and Team Suck is at $115,560,889.
So we're in the millions! Yay!
Have you guys even had a big movie yet, or
Godzilla?
Oh, Godzilla was yours. Okay.
Oh, God, it didn't break 100 million,
I mean,
unfortunately.
It wasn't as big as, like, Captain America, but...
No, we really struggled.
We got some Disney stuff, and that usually does decently, so...
You got,
there's a ton of movies
left. You got How to Train Your Dragon 2, which I was dead set on just because I really like the first one.
And you got Days of Future Past coming up, right?
Guardians of the Galaxy.
You have Guardians.
Yeah, and then we have Maleficent as well.
Dave, you and I do have X-Men.
Oh, we do? Right? Okay.
Yeah.
So
this Friday, Blended, I think that's an Adam Sandler movie, comes out, and that's Team What We're Watching Weekly, and then you and I have X-Men.
I think the momentum's
X-Men's
in our way.
Yeah, better than Blended.
Yeah,
a little bit.
Okay.
I know we're going to win, but there's some later this summer that I think could make things interesting.
I know we're going to win, just, you know, counting up the place with my ego.
I think, Matt.
Why would I be like, I don't know, we might not win.
Matt, I think we were smart snagging all the big blockbuster films early on because people, you know, run out of money after a while.
That's true, but.
Well, I don't know. Because, I mean, you end up with a lot of people that are looking for something to do with their kids that isn't out in 100-degree weather and 90% humidity, so they go to the movies.
That's only in Texas. In Wisconsin, it's going to be a cool 65 in August.
That's BS. That's BS,
well,
Matt.
Well, there's southern states that are hot as well, not just Texas.
I was kidding. She proves the other point, though, and I think a movie all summer is always something you can do if the weather sucks or you just don't want to sit outside.
Yep.
You know, and there's no shortage of movies coming out this summer.
We're still going to win, though, Matt.
I know we're going to win, but Nessa got a little sad, so I was trying to make her feel better.
Way to bring me back down, Dave.
Is that something I do these days? Make people feel better about themselves?
And that's weird to hear, huh?
It's okay.
Yeah, how's that working for you? Yeah.
Well, I've had enough of this Belgian beer that I feel feelings, I guess.
What?
Yeah.
You got the feels.
Apparently one of these make me feel feelings.
Huh.
Aww. All right.
You might get a 12-second hug, Brad.
It's not a hug.
Right now I might fall asleep on him.
He's like, and no. Yeah.
All right. On that note, my friends, let's wrap this sucker up. Thanks for joining us for another edition of the Sci-Fi Geeks Club. You can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Google+. Subscribe to our podcast by going to galacticnetcast.com/subscribe. You can search for us on iTunes and the Stitcher app.
The Stitcher.
What?
The Stitcher.
Yeah.
How you put that in there.
Yeah. That's grandpa talk.
It's like
on the Stitcher.
The Twitters.
Yeah. Exactly.
Doing them their tweets.
Yep. So do all that and more and join us next time for another edition of the Sci-Fi Geeks Club. And as the president, I call this meeting adjourned. Huh. I was ready this time.
That's what she said.
Bye, Dad.
Bye, guys. Talk to you next time.
Bye.
Leave your hailing frequencies open and scanners on full, because another Galactic Netcast will be approaching your coordinates soon. For more information, go to galacticnetcasts.com.